bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today's show, my friends, is a follow-up interview with our guest, Tom Bogdan, who was our guest last week. And just to remind you that Tom has 11 children. He's married to a wonderful woman. He is a reformed drug user, and we want to welcome him back to our program. And Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joe.
So last week's show was really a terrific program, and I want to compliment you on the testimony you gave, because it really is a powerful testimony and witness to the Lord. You know, it is amazing, because one of the things you said last week was that the Lord put his finger on your heart. And that struck me, you know, as very interesting. I've never heard someone put it just like that. And, you know, but today we're going to be talking about, once again, you know, how the Lord worked through your life, and how he helped you while you were incarcerated, and some of the challenges of incarceration specifically. So if you can, take us into your first arrest, and talk a little bit about what it's like to be arrested for you, and how old you were, and some of the things that you had to go through.
Well, it's kind of, I really have to think back. So a lot of it was just like jail, local jails. You know, being in a cell overnight, sleeping on a piece of foam, all alone, freezing cold. So my thing was, it's kind of funny, but I exercised. So I was in that cell, freezing my butt off, no blanket, sleeping on a piece of foam. I did push-ups, sit-ups. So I'd be in a cell, and I would just be trying to keep myself warm. You know, you're sleeping on a piece of foam that's about an inch and a half, 2 inches thick. With no sheet, no blanket, and you're just in there, and you have a lot of time to think. You're in a dark place, and so that was my main thing.
And Tom, where was that? Excuse me, where was that? What facility were you initially sent to?
They were mostly local lockups, like Bristol Township. My main lockup, I was in Wildwoods Jail, was in Mercer County lockup, which was a whole different beast. That was like as close you get to prison as possible, but it's Mercer County lockup. So I'm in Mercer County lockup. Don't want to get into the whole story how I got in there, but I'm in Mercer County lockup with rapists, murderers. I was in there with... he was a preacher from Trenton who molested his congregation, young girls. He molested them, and I'm in there with him. And then I'm in there with a murderer who raped and killed a 70-year-old woman, and the way they caught him, that he found his DNA on his teeth. And I'm in there with this guy, and I don't know if you want me to go into the whole story, but my cellie, I'll never forget, his name was Slappy. He had a weapons offense from New Jersey, so which is an automatic 5-year. So he flees New Jersey, goes to Washington, D.C. He's working for General Motors. And he's on his stoop. He was working 11 to 7 shift. And he's got a 12-pack sitting on his stoop. Cops pull up, run his information, send him back to Jersey. Well, he's my cellie. And I'm in there with Slappy, and he was the jailhouse lawyer. Everybody was bringing him snacks and everything, and he watched me. And we were doing, it was 4th of July weekend, and the guy that I worked for were coming through Trenton, and he wants to stop in Trenton, and he wants to pick up a bag. We don't want nothing to do with that. We just want to get home. We're sloppy, dirty, tired, hungry, sweaty, nasty, the whole nine yards. So we drop him off, and we pull around, we pick him up, and we're almost heading back in Pennsylvania. We were inundated with police, surrounded, shotguns, get out of the car, we'll blow your blah, blah, blah head off. Like, oh my gosh, what the heck's going on here? So he's got a $20 bag, throws it under the seat, doesn't take responsibility for it. So what they put us all in Mercer County lockup 4th of July weekend. And I'm in there, and I get in with this guy. Like I said, his name was Slappy. He was such a great guy. I mean, he was like the jailhouse guy. Everybody was bringing him their snacks. They were giving him snacks for information. He watched over me the whole time, because all I wanted to do was sleep. And I had an old pair of Nike sneakers, all tarred up from doing roofing work and everything. He just kept telling me, he goes, man, them guys were eyeing up your sneakers and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, my gosh. To make a long story short, I learned a lot in Mercer County lockup. I was in there, like I said, with a guy who they caught him. They got DNA. He killed a 70-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
They found his skin on her teeth. You know what I mean?
And
I'm in jail with this guy.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, what did I get into? And through the grace of God, I was in my cellie was Slappy.
Yep.
And he, that guy, he just kept telling me, we hit it right off. Like, I'm just that kind of personality. Like, I get along with everybody.
Sure.
I don't go in there with no attitudes. I'm just in there the way I am. And he kept telling me, he goes, yeah, man, they wanted your sneakers. And all I did was sleep.
Yeah.
And he watched over me the whole time.
Hey, Tom, let me interject for a second. So,
sure.
One of the things in the Wings program we always recommend, for our guys, we want to make some changes. And you have to be very careful whose car you're getting into, whose home you're going to, who's coming to your home. And in your situation, with you having a guy in the car who is being followed, it really sets you up for failure, did it not?
It sure did. And that's people, places, and things.
Right.
So this was the ironic part. The guy who dropped off, we were working in Jersey, going back to Pensy, and he was a heroin addict. So he's the guy that I told you about, his German Shepherd. Saved my life, Fawn, licking my face and waking me up. So we dropped them off, did a couple circles, we pick them up. We're almost back into Pennsylvania, and they just, oh my gosh, guns drawn, shotguns, get out of the car, we're going to blow your blah, blah, blah head off.
Yeah.
Literally, shotguns, pistols.
Yep.
You make one wrong move, you're going down. So this is ironic, he had a little $20 bag, he threw it under his seat. Well, you think he could have took responsibility for it there, so he took us all in.
Yep, and Tom, how old were you back then?
I was in my 20s, Joe.
Okay.
I would say 20, early 20s.
Okay. So this is before your conversion experience with the Lord, before you met your wife.
Yeah. I was, it was all unfolding at that point. I mean, I like he was talking to me, like as far as, he was in my life, but then it's that one thing where you have, you're sitting on a fence.
Right.
You're lukewarm.
Absolutely.
You have one foot in the world and you have one foot in the other end. So you don't want to give it up. It's hard to give up. I mean, it's,
yeah,
it's hard because you still want to live that life and,
right,
you know, do on things. Well, anyway, like I said, he had a $20 bag, and if he would have just took responsibility for it there, so they took us all in because,
right,
of that.
Okay.
And we go into court, handcuffed, eight of us go into the court, blah, blah, blah. you know, and then he owned up in court. And we're like, oh, my gosh, like, why didn't you just own up at that time? And we wouldn't be in a situation we were in. And needless to say, we got a, you know, a $200 fine, and we had to do, we got probation officers, and I'll just be honest with you, I never went to Jersey again, never went to any of my probation things, just said I'm not doing it. I just never went to New Jersey again after that.
Okay.
I was going to New Jersey.
All right.
I don't know. It all went away. I don't know what happened. We paid a fine. And if he would have just said at that time that that little $20 bag was his, but for me, it was an experience.
Yeah.
I think is paying off now.
Yeah.
Because now what I know what it's like.
It's a life-changing experience.
Murderers,
right.
Rapists.
Sure. Let me interject, Tom, on this now. So this is a life-changing experience for you in your 20s. And, you know, we've had thousands of guys come through Wings. And each situation is different, you know. And one of the great goals for us is to help kids to avoid, you know, some of the things that we're talking about. And I think it's important to point out that you can be in a circle of people who appear to be harmless, but they may have something in their pocket. They may be, you know, under surveillance and being watched for weeks or months even. And we never know what other people are doing. So we, in the Wings program, you know, we trust, but we verify. We measure trust one conversation at a time because your freedom is so important. And you have 11 children, as you pointed out in our last program. So, I mean, you know, to make sure that let's be clear, you know, God forbid this happened to you tonight. You have 11 kids. And so, you know, thank God for God because he gave you a whole new life with Christina. And now you have 11 kids. And we're talking about, you know, years and years ago. But it's important because we're trying to help the youth to make good decisions, wise choices, to avoid incarceration, drugs, alcohol, car accidents, and all kinds of tragedies that we see the youth getting into. Would you agree with that?
Sure. And the first thing I'd like to say is all glory and honor to Jesus Christ. I mean, I didn't know him at all. And like they say, you don't choose him. He chooses you. So
exactly.
It's not your decision. He's already chosen you to lead you. And it's a matter, and it's like what the Blessed Mother said. She said yes. So you have an option. You can say yes or no. And I chose to say yes, as did the Blessed Mother. Because, I mean, you go back to the garden and, you know, where Eve said, they said no because they chose another path. And it all goes back to that. That's the beginning.
Yeah.
That if you say yes, and when he knocks and you respond, or if you knock and he opens, it's, oh my gosh, yo, it's like.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing. I mean, you can't even fathom.
Yeah, convert
his mercy.
Right.
What he will do for you in your life. Because when you have, like I told you in the last thing, that everything was taken away from me. I mean, we talked about I had bought that truck, that pickup truck. Well, before I had that truck, I had to humble myself. I bought a $50 '68 Cutlass. $50 I paid for the car. It was only running on 7 cylinders. And that car, I used that to go back and forth to work. It was embarrassing. The car was a total junk heap. Then I moved up to a 73 Mercury Montego that I paid $350 for. And it was, you know, it wasn't easy on the eyes, but it got me back and forth to work. And that's what I was leading up to in that story when I found that pickup truck. I actually, both of them cars, I gave to other people.
Right.
I didn't even want money, but I gave them, I paid $50 for the one car, $350 for the other car, and then I got my pickup truck. Oh. And that's all about, you have to humble yourself.
Right.
You really have to, if you're used to living the life that I was leading, I mean, I always had a big wad in my pocket. You know what I mean? I had a nice car, always money up on the bar, buying drinks, Atlantic City. I mean, I always had a big lot of money in my pocket. But where did it come from?
Yeah,
it came from illicit activity.
Right. But today, Tom,
from working hard. It came from illicit activity.
Right. But today, Tom, you are, you are retired from your vocation. Is that correct?
From my job?
From your job.
Yeah, I actually, monumental day for me, October 17th, I retired. Yep, 22 years at that one job.
Uh-huh. And
praise the Lord that we were able to do it. I'm just going to collect Social Security, and then I have a savings plan, and I got irons in the fire because I can't sit still.
Mm-hmm.
I already got offers of jobs.
Sure.
To do this or that, little side work here, a little side work there. So, you know, you got to keep yourself moving because what's that? Idle hands, the work of the devil.
That's right. It's the devil's workshop. And Tom, on that note, let me ask you a question. Now, where do you guys go to church? What is your church?
We go to St. Bede's.
Okay.
In Holland. Pennsylvania.
Okay, sure. Now, this week
Wonderful church.
Yeah. Now, this week is the, the Feast of All Saints Day. And, was there a specific saint that helped you in your time of need to get closer to the Lord, or was it through the Blessed Mother, St. Mary, herself?
Well, when I was going through all my stuff and I didn't even know who she was, I had a miraculous medal that my mom gave me. And I wore it on a Cuba link chain, the regular chain, the silver chain or whatever. And so I always had a miraculous medal. I didn't even know who the Blessed Mother was. It was just a medal my mom gave me. And then, of course, my patron saint is Saint Jude. Saint of impossible cases.
Okay.
Saint Jude, I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah.
he's Saint Jude. I mean, he's my main patron saint. And then St. Joseph the Worker, St. Dimphna. Are you familiar with St. Dimphna?
No, expand my view.
St. Dimphna, write it down and look her up. So she is, I'm looking at her right now. She is the saint of psychological mental problems. With the anxieties. Like I said, I was over the edge, and I'll be honest with you. You know, at one point you think you're Jesus Christ, and then another point you think you're the devil. And with methamphetamine, it kind of is a psychotic drug. And Saint Dimphna is the saint of mental issues, and I love her to death, Saint Dimphna.
Okay.
She is a wonderful saint. Saint Benedict, oh my gosh, I'm looking at him right now.
Mm-hmm.
Saint Benedict, he's very strong with demonic forces.
Mm-hmm.
Saint Francis of Assisi.
Okay. Hey, Tom, let me ask you a question about your wife and your kids now. You know, you are married for how many years?
30 plus.
30 plus years, and you have 11 children. And how old is the oldest and how old is the youngest?
The oldest is 32, and the youngest is 10.
Wow, so you have... You have a lot on your plate, and no doubt working as a team. What's the secret to a successful marriage, you know, with 11 children? What would Christina say? What would be her answer? And then I'm going to tell you something that a good friend of mine told me who was married 63 years, he and his wife. Go ahead.
50-50 relationship. You can't, my wife, and God bless her, my mother-in-law is a nagger, drive my father-in-law crazy, which God bless him. I put an addition on my house. We have an in-law suite. My mom lived there for 10 years. Well, they're living there now. And my mother-in-law is a nagger. Nag, nag, nag. And my father-in-law is the greatest guy. He's 87 years old. God bless him. My wife is so perceptive that she saw how my mother-in-law nagged him. Nag, nag, nag. My wife, she does not nag at all. She will, we just, when a marriage is 50-50. So you can't have, you can't say, you know, I'm the king of this castle. Everything's 50-50. We discuss everything. Anything that we're going to buy or anything I want, I discuss it with her first.
Okay.
God bless her. She's the most, think about it, 11 children, Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, she is, she's just this phenomenal woman.
Yeah. Well,
she's a devout Catholic like you wouldn't believe.
Let me comment on that because, you know, I teach confirmation class at St. Mary's Cathedral. And by the way, anybody who's listening, is always welcome to join us at St. Mary's Cathedral in Trenton, New Jersey. I'm normally at the 10:30 Mass there, but we teach confirmation on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8. And we have about 14 kids there and probably split between boys and girls. And, you know, talking about the gift of motherhood, and we've been talking heavily about the Blessed Mother and how the gift of motherhood, you know, is such a precious gift only given to women. And I try to, you know, get the message across to our young ladies that that's a gift that you really have to protect, you have to defend, you have to, you know, cherish it. It's very precious. And without the gift of motherhood, you know, all life would end in years to come because there would be no children. So, you know, looking at your wife who gave birth to 11 children, you know, it's really a miracle in itself to have one child, let alone 11. And I'd love to, you know, have a conversation with her because today we know the pro-life, you know, cause is on the table and has been for many, many years. And there are people who really, you know, do not value life as we see it today. What would Christina's answer be to those people who are pro-choice and willing to legalize and maintain the legalities for abortion?
Well, first of all, we never call it pro-choice. It's pro-abortion because there's no choice in that issue.
Thank you.
It's pro-abortion. My wife, she just went. I was going to go, but I was sick the other day. Her and another woman, we pray out front of a... an abortion mill. It's in Warminster. And the other, it's called the Legacy of Life. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
I have, yes.
One in Bristol and there's one in Center City. And the one in Bristol, so on 413 in Bristol, the abortion mill was across the street. They closed. It's shuttered up. They do not perform abortion there anymore. And we just think it's divine intercession that closed that abortion mill. And then there's one more left. It's in Warminster, Pennsylvania. And they just purchased the warehouse across the street from it. We go there on Good Fridays. It's like an annual. We go there on Good Friday. My wife was just, I was supposed to go the other day with her. Her and three other women. God bless women. Three women were out there praying. I was going to go, but I was sick. And so I'm talking to the director of the Life Center. They just purchased the warehouse across the street from the Warminster abortion mill. They just purchased it. And that's going to be a supply chain.
Okay.
So they're going to have, because people donate.
Yeah.
Diapers, formula.
Right.
You name it.
Necessities.
This huge warehouse where they're going to be doing, you know, they do ultrasounds. They do all these things for these women because ultrasounds are free. You know, Planned Parenthood charges $45 for an ultrasound. So you go to Planned Parenthood, they charge $45 for an ultrasound to tell you how far along you are that you can kill your baby. Like how far along.
Right.
I'll tell you a very good story, John. I hope I'm not dragging this on. My daughter worked there. And a woman comes in with her daughter. And she said, look, we don't want to hear nothing about adoption. We want an abortion. It's a freedom. Because Planned Parenthood charges for an ultrasound.
Right.
The Life Center does it for free. It's, and I knew the ultrasound technician. She was such a wonderful woman. She did it for free. And she comes down. She said, here, here's a picture of your grandchildren. And she's like, what? She goes, twins. They were twins. And my daughter was the worker. She was in, this was one of her clients there. And the mother's like, oh my gosh, we can't abort them. They're twins. But did that really matter that they were twins? But that, the grace of God, that changed that grandmother's heart. Because she came there right at the beginning. She said, we don't want to hear nothing about adoption. We're coming here for the free ultrasounds. They gave free ultrasounds.
Right.
To see how far along you are.
Sure.
Because like I said, Planned Parenthood charges charges you for the ultrasound, then they charge you for the abortion.
It's amazing. God. Hey, Tom, I have to interject right now. We've only got another 30 seconds, but
okay.
For many years I was very active up there in Warminster. I was the vice president of the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition, working with Bill Miller, who has since passed. But,
Bill Miller, God yeah. bless him.
But let me just say, thank you so much for coming on the show a second time. And we will be talking. I want to say God bless you and your lovely wife and children. And my friends who are listening out there, thank you for tuning in with us today. This is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. And Tom, thank you again for being a guest on our show. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great
day.
Thank you so much, Joe. You're welcome. God bless. Take good care.
Amen.